be seated. Take your Bible tonight over to the Old Testament book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 7, all right? Exodus chapter 7, if you turn there in your Bible, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. We want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the faithfulness of Moses. The faithfulness of Moses. And we're not just here to give a report about Moses, all right? But hey, when we preach on the faithfulness of Moses, it's a challenge to you and I to be faithful, all right? For us to be faithful the way Moses was, all right? Exodus chapter 7, look if you will, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. All right, I want you to just look and think about it a little bit, would you? As we've looked for a few weeks now at the life of Moses, you know, we've seen some great spiritual development in his life. Tremendous spiritual development. He didn't begin at the top, all right? You know, we have a tendency to think, well, man, you know, he was always a spiritual giant. Well, that's not the truth, all right? Man, we've seen he doubted God. He questioned God. He refused God. He made excuses to God. Sort of sounds like us, doesn't it? He's the same kind of person we are, all right? We are. He did all of those things, and all of that's true. But when we get to this point, chapter 7 in the Scriptures, there's a difference. There's a difference in his life. Things have changed. It's not the same anymore. And the reason is God did a work in the heart of Moses, all right? And he can do that same work in the heart of any man today. You say, well, I don't think he can. Well, he can if that man would just let him do it, all right? Listen, I believe God wants to do a work in all of our lives. Just to be honest, I believe God would like every one of us to be spiritual giants. Why wouldn't he? You think he's picked us out and he said, well, I'd like for him to be a spiritual pygmy and him to be just an average, and most of them be average and a few pygmies, but very, very, very few spiritual giants. I don't believe that. Because the Bible tells us in the New Testament, God's no respecter of persons. Amen. I believe he'd like for us all to be spiritual giants. He says, well, I never could do that. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Look with me just a little bit at the faithfulness of Moses, all right? Now, I'll remind you, the past doesn't keep you from being faithful to God today. But on the other hand, the past doesn't ensure if you were faithful to him, you'll always be faithful to him. And neither one of those statements work, all right? But look at it with me. First of all, I want you to see this. The faithful man will be obedient. Pretty simple truth. The faithful man will be obedient. We read there in Exodus chapter 7, verse 6. Look at it. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. Do you see the emphasis in that verse? The emphasis right there is twice we're told that they did what God said to do.
That's right. Amen.
All right? Not they had to be told twice, but twice we're told they did what God said for them to do. Faithfulness demands totality. It demands totality. You can't pick and choose what suits you as to doing what God wants you to do and be considered faithful. All right? I mentioned, I think when I was preaching Sunday, maybe recently anyway, that my brother and I had chores to do when we were kids. And one of those things was washing dishes. Now, I'm not exactly sure how he felt about it, but I don't think he was a big fan of washing dishes. And I've told you, I hated washing dishes. I just absolutely despised it. And we would usually put it off.
Amen.
You know, we did the whole thing. We'll run the water really, really hot. Then it's too hot to put your hands in.
Right.
But that's okay. We'll let the dishes soak.
Right on. Amen.
And what better thing to do, right? Let them soak and they'll be easier to clean then. And we'd get occupied, and when we got to them, guess what? The water wasn't too hot anymore. Matter of fact, sometimes it wasn't even lukewarm anymore, all right? We'd put it off, and I'm guilty. Put it off as long as I can. Sometimes I got in trouble, we put it off too long. But, hey, it's just one of those things. Well, wait a minute. In serving God and being faithful to Him, when God tells us what to do, if we're going to be faithful, we can't pick and choose. So, well, I enjoy that, but I don't like doing that. So I'll do the ones I like, but those I don't like, I don't want to do them. No, faithfulness demands totality. It's all of it. It's all of it. You do it all right? If the Lord says it, we're to do it. We're to do it. If He says do it, we're just to do it, all right? Now, I want to point out here, and I believe it's worthy of note at this point in the Scripture, that from here on out, through the exodus of Israel from Egypt, the obedience of Moses and Aaron was absolutely impeccable. I mean, there wasn't a problem at all. There's no more resistance on their part to the commands of God. There's no more saying, but I didn't do any of that. Perfectly obedient to God, what they said to do, they did it, all right? Now, I want to say this. You're not faithful if you're not obedient. Do all that God says to do. You're unfaithful. You're unfaithful. Well, that's, preacher, that's a high standard. I didn't set the standard. God set the standard. And if we're going to be faithful, it means we're faithful to do all that He says to do. All that He says to do. Now, you just pick anything in the Scriptures that says to do. If we're going to be considered a faithful individual to God, then we got to do everything He says. Everything He says. Not only do we do all He says to do, I want you to back up with me to verse 2 in chapter 7, would you? I want you to notice what the Bible says there. The Bible said, thou shalt speak all that I command thee.
Yes, sir.
Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. Hey, the faithful man is obedient to do, but he's also obedient to say all that God says for him to say. Now, let's be honest with you, here's where so many people fail. So many people don't do it. There were some things that Moses had to say to Pharaoh that most of us would have been happy to let somebody else do it. It's not something we would have said, yeah, I've always wanted to say that. No. Look, you know, you can go before the Senate, any senator in the United States, and you can say stuff. You can even be disrespectful. But you're not going to be thrown in jail, all right? But I want to tell you, when you're talking to Pharaoh, it could be a lot worse than being thrown in jail. You could have been dangled for crocodile bait in the Nile, all right? It could have been your life. But Moses, the Bible says, Moses and Aaron were faithful, and they spoke everything that they were commanded to speak. I mean, every bit of it. Hey, such words as those are not met with approval. They're not met with joy. They're not guaranteed to win friends and influence your enemies, okay? It's going to make it tough. It was a hard time. And God says some things today that are hard for men to take. Some people don't like you to point at them and let them know you're a sinner. Some people don't like that. They resent that. Who are you judging me? We love to. That terminology is out there so much today. Who do you think you are to judge me? You know. Well, I'm not judging you at all when I say you're a sinner and deserve to go to hell. Well, you don't even know me. No, but I know what the Bible says. And the Bible said we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And the payment on sin is hell. Those words are not easily said, all right? But can I say it? Man, those words, even the ones that are hard, they're not to be left out. There's a temptation here and a temptation today for preachers to skip over some scripture and not preach the whole counsel of God. Why? Because we don't want to tell all that God says to tell. Don't want to do it. It's very revealing sometimes as to what's not said. You listen to a lot of the well-known, well-liked fellows, the positive-only preachers of today, if you will, and it's not what they say that's wrong. It's what they refuse to say.
Come on. Yes, sir.
All right? It's what they will not say. And we love to hear about the love of God, and I don't know how you feel about it, but thank God for the love of God.
Yes,
what a wonderful thing it is. But can I point out to you Proverbs 6, verse 16? Now hold your place here, but let's go over there, all right? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. You know, we love that love of God, and boy, they love to talk about God's love and how everything is wonderful and everything's great. But let me tell you, Proverbs 6, verse 16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate." These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. I wonder if that could have anything to do with an abortionist. And a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Hey, the Bible said God hates those things.
Right.
Isn't it amazing, though, there's some, I really hate to call them preachers.
Come on, brother.
There are some speakers across the land that are in churches and never have a negative thing to say. And that's what's wrong. What they say is not wrong. The problem is what they won't say. I remind you over here in Exodus, the Bible says Moses and Aaron, they were commanded to tell it all. And as faithful men, they said everything. Everything. Folks, sometimes it's necessary for us to do that with family members and friends. It's necessary for us to be honest with them and point out, hey, what you're doing is wrong from the Scripture.
Amen.
What you're doing is wrong. You need to consider your ways, all right? Hey, the faithful man, first thing about it, if you're going to have that, if you're going to be faithful, you got to be obedient. But the second thing I want you to see is you have to be persistent. The faithful man will be persistent. Hey, that's the point that marks the faithful man in the eyes of many people. The faithful man sticks with it and does not give up. He does not quit, even if there's opposition, even if he gets defeated a few times. What does he do? He gets up, he keeps going, keeps going. Hey, we consider that to be faithful. Somebody says, well, that fellow was faithful there. He went, I think Brother Joe Hawkins, he went to Brazil and he was there 50 plus years. Faithful. Faithful man. He died trying to get back to Israel. Brazil, wanting to go back. But God said, that's enough. He was faithful. Hey, if you're going to be faithful, you got to be persistent. Have you ever thought about the persistence of Moses? Ever thought about, if I counted correctly today, Moses came into the presence of Pharaoh up through chapter 10 15 times. 15 times. He came into the presence of Pharaoh. And in none of those meetings did Moses and Aaron get what they wanted from Pharaoh. Go back over there, Exodus chapter 10. Here's the result of their last meeting. Their last meeting, they got together. In chapter 10 of Exodus, you get down to verse 28. And Pharaoh said unto him, "Get thee from me. Take heed to thyself, see my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die." And Moses said, "Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more." Now, hey, 15 times they come before Pharaoh, stand before him and deal with him. Now, I know since I said that, somebody's going to go and count. If you get a different number, just remember, you could be wrong too, all right? But if we give you something to do, go for it, all right? Hey, what I'm saying is this. rejection didn't stop Moses. Rejection didn't stop Moses. Failure didn't stop Moses from being persistent. He kept going. Now, I don't know about y'all. And I'm serious. But when I was a kid reading these verses and these chapters, and really, I never did think about it much, but when I was a kid, I really thought that what occurred here in these chapters was a month maybe at most. I mean, no, you go one day, you get rejected, you go back the next day, or in a couple of times, it says a couple of 3 days later, he goes back. So in a month time, you get there. But the truth of the matter is, I think most folks believe that what the events of these chapters took maybe up to a year to transpire. He didn't just go every day, all right? But he kept going, all right? He kept going. He didn't let that rejection, he didn't let that disappointment cause him to quit. And in the midst of it, after the 10th time, he didn't look at God and say, God, you sure about this? He was faithful. He just kept going. He just kept going. Why? Persistent. Persistent. Look, that's one thing we can be, all right? We can be persistent. I don't know how many times I visited some people. Brother Jesse West, who's pastoring now up in Durant, Oklahoma, I have no idea how many times I've visited their home. No idea. I tell my wife, well, I'm headed to Newark, all right? She knew who I was going to see. They lived out there, and I'd go, and I'd always be welcome, you know. And Brother Jesse, they'd come a little while, then they wouldn't. I'm back on the way out to Newark, you know. Just back out there, petting their Great Danes, you know, and trying to keep them getting licked to death. But it just kept going, kept going. Now Brother Jesse tells me, hey, preacher, I sure am glad you didn't give up on me. I sure am glad you didn't give up on me. Hey, sometimes you just got to be persistent. Sunday school teachers, be careful about giving up on somebody in your class. Be careful. Hey, you that have a burden for somebody's soul and you witness to, be careful about giving up too quick. Be careful. Keep going. Keep going. I told somebody one time, I said, you came to the wrong church. I said, what do you mean? I said, because when you came here, you came, somebody's going to keep after you until you come. So I'm going to just stay after you. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming either until you start coming or you're going to tell me, don't ever come back again. I said, if you tell me that, I won't. Maybe. All right, but hey, you got to be persistent. You got to keep going. I'll remind you of that woman in the New Testament that had the issue of blood. She had tried everybody she knew, right? She had tried all the physicians she knew. And the truth of the matter is, the Lord Jesus Christ was the last resort. Now, she could have done like a lot of people do, said, I've tried everybody else, just forget it, it's not worth it. But that one touch changed her. Why? She stayed after it. Stayed after it. God help us to be persistent. God help us to be persistent. I guarantee you, if you do anything for God, there's going to be opposition. But faithfulness demands that we be persistent, we be consistent, and we stay by the stuff, we stick with our work, we keep on going. Don't quit on it. Don't quit. Faithfulness. Hey, Moses and Aaron, they were faithful because they were obedient. They were faithful in their being persistent. I want you to see this. The faithful man will be rewarded. Look back at chapter 7, verse 1. Look back at chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I've made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. God help us to remember that it's faithfulness that God looks for. It's faithfulness that God expects from those who call his name. That's what he asked. That's what he asked. The New Testament. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Well-known verse. And if you're thinking ahead, you already know where I'm going, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's what the Bible says is required. Here's what's required. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You say, well, that's stewards, that's not me. Okay, read verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We are that. We are stewards of the mysteries of God, okay? So we are stewards, and the Bible says, what's required? Faithful. Be faithful. That's what's required. Boy, aren't you glad that's so? So, well, I don't know. Well, wait a minute. What if God required talent? How much talent do you have? What if God required some kind of strength? Inner strength, muscular strength, outer strength, mental strength, emotion, whatever. Would you be found lacking there because you really don't have that kind of strength? You don't have that talent, or you don't have that ability? Hey, it's not those things that God rewards. You know what? It's not showiness. You say, what do you mean by that? That's a word I invented, okay? But I must not have invented it. My spell check didn't underline it when I put it in my notes. I mean just, showing off. If I can make a spectacle, then I'll do it. No, that's not what God rewards. That's not what he expects. What he expects is faithfulness. You can be faithful if you don't have any talent. You can be faithful if you don't have any talent. See, because a lot of people, they dwell on what they can't do. And they've got a list as long as your arm of the things they can't do. I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do that. Okay, great! But can you be faithful? You see, we can be faithful. But we give that litany of what we can't do. We don't have the ability. Well, that's all right. That's not what God's looking for. He's not looking for that. Those things, they impress the world. But they don't impress God. Are you like me? Do you listen to the news and wonder why? Why are they spending so much time telling us that? Now listen, I don't hate Tiger Woods. Okay, don't despise him, nothing at all. He's an amazing golfer. But I don't know why it takes 10 minutes to tell us he had a wreck and got hurt. He's just an athlete. Why do they go through? See, the world gets impressed by stuff that doesn't impress God. Doesn't impress God at all. And the sad thing is, so many of God's people, we act like we're impressed by that kind of stuff. We shouldn't be, all right? Hey, we need to realize that the world, because we get excited and the world's excited about those things and impresses them, then we think that's what we've got to produce. But you don't. You don't. Now listen, I like good singing as much as anybody. And we may have a different agreement on what constitutes good singing. Fine. Not going to fight you over that. But I'll tell you this. I don't mind some person getting up that may flat a note every now and then and may not be exactly perfectly on pitch. But man, if you can see the grace of God on that individual, and you know that person is not singing to impress anybody, but is just trying to serve the Lord with their talent and whatever ability they've got, then I'm for it. I'm for it. Go for it. I don't mind people singing with a nasal tune, if they're praising the Lord. I'll never forget, Mrs. Bryant is a friend of mine. She gives the heritage tours over at Arlington Baptist University now, and boy, I've carried a lot of people over there. Last Saturday, had the missionaries over there. I'll never forget, I met her years ago at a music competition. Her husband pastored in Wichita Falls, and they had a Christian school, and they brought some kids down to music competition, and I don't know what it was. We just wound up setting, pew or two away from each other, and I had two girls that were country. All right, they were just country, and they were singing, and I'm trying to remember the song to enter to sing it kind of the way they would sing it, but I can't recall one right off the top of my head. But I mean, when you heard them sing, you were not impressed. Those girls could sing opera. You would have never thought that. You wouldn't even have thought Grand Ole Opry with them, all right? They were just country, man. I'll never forget Mrs. Bryant turning around. She knew they were from our school, and she said, "Man, I love that kind of singing. I love that kind of singing." You know what? I tried to instill on the kids that go to competition like that from our school. Look, we're not here to impress the world. I would like for you to just get used to using your abilities for God. Just use them for God. What a blessing that is, all right? What a blessing that is. Doesn't impress the world, but that's okay. Hey, unfortunately, there's a lot of God's people that think they can get by being unfaithful as long as they impress the world. But it doesn't work. A reward is promised if we'll just be faithful. You have your Bible open there at 1 Corinthians. Go a little further. Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Look, here's the verse, all right? Here's a verse that encourages us in faithfulness. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now, that verse was written a long, long time after Moses stood in front of Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." It's written a long time after Pharaoh said, "You get out of here. If I see you again, I'll kill you." He said, "It's not in the Bible." That's my translation of chapter 10, amen, verse 28, all right? "Get out of here or I'll kill you if I see you again." That verse was written a long time ago after that. But I'll tell you this. Old Moses experienced the truth of it. Hey, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He said, when do you think Moses reaped? Well, I really think he reaped when they got on the other side of the Red Sea. They'd gone through on dry land, and they got on the other side, and they looked back and said, "Goodbye, Pharaoh." And the water fell in on them, drowned every one of them, all right? Hey, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. The problem is, we don't stay faithful. But would you just let that verse right there, that's a verse that ought to be dear to us. It needs to be constantly referenced to keep us encouraged. To keep us encouraged. Say, "Preacher, you don't ever get discouraged." I get a little down sometimes. But then I begin to think about what God said. Hey, Moses was greatly rewarded. Greatly rewarded. To this day, he's considered one of the greatest people ever in the history of the Jewish race. They look up to him to this day. The problem is men today often look at the wrong criteria when they're measuring other men. Measuring other men. You hear me, all right? Thank God for individuals that seem to do what we as human beings call a great work. And I'm going to tell you this. God is going to reward faithfulness and faithfulness that men easily overlook. One of these days, we're going to stand in heaven. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and crowns will be given. I'm going to tell you this. I believe some of us are going to be surprised. I believe some of us are going to be surprised. We're going to hear about somebody that we never heard of. And nobody else seemingly ever heard of. But God kept track of him. And that person was just faithful. Faithful. Oh, they never attracted any attention. Never got any great attention. Their name was never on everybody's lips. Nobody ever chanted their name. Nobody wrote books about them. But one of these days, God's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the crown will be given, the reward will be given. Why? Because they were not weary in well doing. And due season may not come here. Due season may not come till we're in heaven. But that season will come. That season will come. And my friend, it ought to cause us, that verse right there, it ought to help us to focus on, let me be faithful. Let me be faithful to obey and say everything God says to say, do everything God says to do, and stick with it until the job's done. Just stick with it. Just stick it out. Hey, a lot of adversity. Yep, I'll just stick with it. Nobody seems to think you're doing a good job. It's all right. This is what God told me to do. I'm going to stick with it. Would you do it? Would you be faithful? Hey, I don't have the ability. Don't have to have any ability. Just be faithful. I don't have any talents. Okay, you don't need talent. Just need to be faithful. Well, I'm not a very showy person. That's probably a good thing. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us to see the faithfulness of Moses. Help us to take a look at his life and understand that he and Aaron were just faithful men to do what you told them to do, and what you told them, they did it. They did it. And Lord, they were faithful to say all that you said for them to say. Lord, would you just help us to be like that? That we might be, as your word says, that we'd just be, we'd not be weary in well-doing, but we'd look forward to the due season when we'll reap. But Lord, help us not to faint. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you tonight. I hope you'll be faithful. You're dismissed.